The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We also welcome to the programme, Jan Arge Fjortoff is with us. We'll kick things off with the Cristiano Ronaldo saga that looks to have taken a new twist. Reports in the UK suggesting that he could go to Atletico Madrid on loan. That would then trigger another year in his contract with Manchester United, come back next season to win the Champions League with United. The problem with this deal is that Atleti need to offload Antoine Griezmann first.
Yeah, and that's not an easy thing. And I never thought I'd be saying this, really, but Antoine Griezmann, that move to Barcelona just derailed him, really. World Cup winner, yep. All that sort of stuff. Exciting player. Doesn't really work from at Barcelona. Moans about the positions he's playing in. He's not getting the best of him. Of course, Messi was still there at the time. Gets a move back to the club where he was hugely successful and played well, but really hasn't cut it. Did not cut it last year, had injuries, was not playing well when he was fit, was out the team, was on the bench. He preferred Correa and Cunha and at times João Felix. And he carries a humongous wage.
Yeah.
So there lies, I think, the big problem in all this.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it, Jan? Who's paying this money for Antoine Griezmann?
Well, first of all, boys, I have to say he's been linked to Manchester United since Bobby Charlton played for Manchester United. So Antoine Griezmann and Schneider. Remember Schneider?
Yeah,
always linked
always
to Manchester United. So finally that could happen. But I think this twist with Cristiano Ronaldo is turning into something comical now, because there need to be a decision. I mean, Ten Hag is trying his best. He's trying to get some discipline into that team. You can see they having a more identity now. You see that he has used the training sessions as good as he can, and probably the iPad on the flights, because they've been all over the world. But this Cristiano Ronaldo thing got to stop now, because now it's a matter of management. Do something about it. And Griezmann, yes, he earns a lot of money, so does Cristiano Ronaldo. So this is not only players moving, these are big transfer deal, business deals, who has to go emotions. But boys, it's just days till we start things. It's Community Shield coming up, Premier League starting soon. It has to be a decision made, or this will be make Manchester United start the season bad, and they can't afford that.
I could see this working, though, at Atletico Madrid.
Well, you think Luis Suarez kind of played a good role?
I know we had a chat on here another a few days ago, and one or two didn't think it would work for him, but he's got the way they play, the way they approach the game, the way their manager is, and they've got Correa and Cunha that really work hard, that can, and then they've got João Felix, his fellow countryman there, who's not been his best but is very clever. Maybe that will bring out the best of him, and of course his goals are not really going to dry up. And you know, that they do that a lot, Atletico Madrid. They soak teams in, then they hit them and they get balls in the box. And he can finish. The big question is, can United come up with a deal?
But well, I do. Griezmann's your issue.
Yeah, I have him. Yeah, no, take your 100 million off wages.
Do you want in the mystery box?
But I don't know. It's just not. This is not an ideal scenario for Ten Hag. And I think Ronaldo's team just need to make it a bit clearer.
Right.
Look, we want this done, come hell or high water. We want out the club. This is our stance. And just don't soft soap it. Don't try and paint yourself in a great picture with the fans. Just get the move done. Then Ten Hag can move forward with what he's got. But he'll need to get somebody in that position. But don't leave it. And I think it was Gab Marcotti that said a few days ago, his camp have a habit of leaving things right till the death.
Right.
That is not going to be favourable to the new United manager.
Meanwhile, without Cristiano Ronaldo, Manchester United in action against Aston Villa. 2-0 up at the break, a poor display in the second half, though saw Villa come back to get a 2-2 draw. Ten Hag not happy, saying in our team it was clear there was a dip. The first half was really good, and then a drop of focus. It can be that the guys are tired, but it's never an excuse. They have to perform, and it is what we didn't do in the second half. A drop of focus is unacceptable. Jan, did that performance in the second half warrant that reaction?
I think it does. I mean, I, as a player, I hated friendlies. As a fan, I looked for them to prepare for a new season. And I've also been preparing on Ten Hag today. We're reading a lot about his philosophy, how he thinks. And that interview is basically how he is. I mean, he will demand a lot from these players. The more I read about him, the more I understand him, the more I talk to people who have worked with him, I understand that Manchester United now have got themselves the right manager because he won't take any prisoners. And the Manchester United players, we've seen that through the pre-season, that you see a better shape, you see a better identity in that team, and all this soap opera thing going around at the club, he will try to get that away. But we all know that is all about winning football games. So if you start off badly and so on and so on. But in Ten Hag and the reaction he had today, you can't accept that, because the second half today, that was a bit like Manchester United. We've seen them being up, then going down, and De Gea didn't look well for the second goal and so on and so on. But as long as you find your shape, as long as you sort this Cristiano Ronaldo thing, I think that Manchester United fans can be a bit optimistic going into this new season. And the transfer window, another month to go, 5 weeks to go, can still get him some players in. So I think that Manchester United will find a way.
I mean, honestly, the early signs for this guy is he's just business.
Okay.
It's just business. I mean, he's got a reputation. He wants to uphold that reputation. He's seen Mourinho and Van Gaal, two coaches that have done way more than him but are way older. He's seen them go in and be good and bad, but generally not get to where they want. And if he's saying that to the press after a game, after a friendly, what's he saying in the dressing room?
Right.
It's more. Absolutely. It's more powerful. And I think what he's doing here is he's making it absolutely known to some of these underachievers. And there are players there that think they've made it by getting a move to Man United and getting their money and playing at 90%. And he's saying, no, not under my watch.
Right.
You know, I am the manager here. I've got the backing of this football club. If you're not playing and you're not doing it, and he kept mentioning focus, then you're out. And I'll get somebody else. And I think they've really needed this. Although they need recruitment, they need somebody that's going to go in there and just be strong. And not be mollycoddling these players with the arm around them and training's too hard and, oh, he's doing this and he's making us watch a video. If you don't want to do it, go. And I think he's laying that on the line early. So I think the United players, Dan, at this moment in time, will absolutely know where they stand with this manager. And that's a good thing.
Extra time today. We'll see Craig and Jan answer your questions. As always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now, we've been talking a lot this week about Eden Hazard. Had a brilliant summer. Come back fit. Quite
enjoyed himself.
Ready to go.
I had a brilliant summer, but I didn't come back fit.
That he could replicate the form that we've seen from Chelsea and indeed Real Madrid. Now, we're seeing some of his goals here. Yeah. What we were going to show you as well is what happened in training in LA.
He moved.
Well, it was so kind of player in the middle, keep ball, here we go. And then Rudiger goes in and takes Hazard down. And he's a doubt now for the clash against Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, that's a straight red.
What's Rudiger doing?
Leaving one, we call that leaving one on somebody.
But why would you do that in a...
No, he's clumsy.
He's very clumsy indeed. I mean, I can see this from a young 19-year-old centre-back trying to make his way in the game, and he's just been introduced to the first team squad, and he's a bit over enthusiastic.
Yes.
But
oof.
Well, I think he's probably saying, "You're telling us you came back fitter. Let's check this out."
Just see if you bounce back.
But it's so typical. If you're gonna make two roles. Angelotti will tell you, we got to play a film. I need someone being clumsy. I will someone fall over the ball, and I need someone to get injured that people are credibility, that they will think is really injured. Oh, Tony Rudiger and Eden Hazard, can you do that? Of course we can. And I feel so sorry for Eden Hazard because he needs a good look at this. He's actually stepping on the ball. And you know, of course, Hazard, it's unbelievable.
I have seen less than that result in fisticuffs in training, but I don't think.
I don't think Hazard, I don't Rudiger think is a fight.
Hazard, well, you never know. I mean, he can get a few blows to the ribs in early doors, but
But in this exercise, you know that in training, Craig, sometimes when there is a lot of touches and you can't get out, you want to kick someone.
Right.
But Tony Rudiger doesn't try to do that. He's just, okay, I have to go into this tackle. And then, sorry
the
for him, there is a ball in our game. And he steps on it and Eden Hazard tries to get away. And hopefully that won't be that serious. We can't laugh to it. But
that's the kind of challenge,
sad.
Jan, that our good friend Ellen Johnson used to
Ellen Johnson.
He used to do that on a daily basis and then shout at you in the ground, get up so I can do it again.
Oh, lovely.
I do repeat myself, Craig, but I was rooming with him at a national team and I was sleeping with shin pads, 100% with Ellen Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Real Madrid going to the start of La Liga season as favourites. However, Barca, of course, has had a number of big names to their squad ahead of the new campaign. And Carolina de la Sala spoke to Joan Laporta, the Barca president, about what's happened this summer and in particular, Frankie de Jong.
Frankie de Jong is staying in Barcelona?
He's our player, he's a high quality player. We like it. We like him very much. We just have to, we must to clarify some aspects of his position. But right now he's player of Football Club Barcelona. He has some offers, but by the moment we didn't accept the offers because we want to talk to him in order to know exactly what he wants.
Barcelona is prepared to win the Champions League?
Football Club Barcelona is back. We are back. And we are ready to compete. And we are ready to compete in all the competitions that we are involved. And we will do our best for win this competition that, of course, we like it very much, the European Champions League. We will do our best.
Do you see the little smile he gave there when he was trying to keep a straight face saying that Frankie de Jong...
We don't know what Frankie de Jong himself wants to do.
We don't know what he
like,
wants.
He's having much saying this. I mean, that's quite a bold statement, isn't it? You know, and I've heard this before in the last couple of weeks in the media. We're back.
Yep.
I mean, I know they've had a decent transfer window. They've got their man in Lewandowski, but they still might offload de Jong, and I think that's a big possibility for financial reasons mainly. But to just say we're back before a ball is kicked...
That's what you expect the Barcelona president to say.
Well, I think, you know, we've had a pretty good transfer window. I think so far we're pretty happy with our business. I think that's bullish and rather bold to say we're back before a ball is kicked.
Are they back, Jan?
hope Barcelona is back, because we all love them to be back as the big club they are. But I mean, the sustainability in their use of money, if to say it in a good way, it's good for Frankie de Jong to be using his money to buy Robert Lewandowski. I mean, that's what we learn from their philosophy. They say that you can go to Manchester United. We know that you want to stay, but you have to say bye-bye to some of your money, because we need them, because we have just spent them on a 34-year-old Polish striker playing for Bayern Munich. So I hope Barcelona is back, but I must say that interview was brilliant. His look is, I mean, he plays the perfect role of a Barcelona president who says they're back. I mean, he plays that superbly. But when we saw last season, maybe you boys are 100% convinced that Xavi will be a great, great manager. I think the jury is still out there.
Wow. It looks like the type of president you go in to see, and when you come out of there, you go, I've not believed a word he's told me, really.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I mean,
Frankie, it's fine, mate.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, the one thing I will say is, and this slightly contradicts my answer a minute or two ago, but I don't think it will be enough in the big competitions. But Lewandowski's goals will paper over potentially a lot of the cracks. You know, the fact that Busquets can't get around the field anymore. Yes, he can pass the ball, but defensively, he's a lot weaker than he was. The back line isn't particularly strong. So, goals will make up for that, but not. And he's talking about Champions League. You're not going to be... When bearing in mind, Eintracht Frankfurt knocked him out of the Europa League last year. You have to have a solid defence,
yes,
like Real Madrid did in the end, Liverpool had, to go in that competition. But he's bold and bullish, and listen, that tells you what Xavi needs to do. Win some games or he could be in a bit of trouble.
On the subject of Barca's defence, of course, they've been heavily linked now to Jules Koundé, who we thought was going to go to Chelsea. Barca looking to hijack that deal. Who needs him more, Jan?
I think they both need him desperately. I can't give you an answer to who I think will. I think Chelsea as well. I think they're vulnerable at the back. That they need that kind of player. After seeing Rudiger taking on Hazard, you don't think you will miss him, but I think you will miss that kind of player. And there will be a lot of hijacking now coming into this stage of the transfer window. We've seen the some clubs doing it early, like Bayern Munich and Manchester City, but. It's normal that Barcelona will. It's not only Craig that understands that they are back bad at the defense, and Koundé has been more like linked with all the big clubs now for a long time. So no surprisingly that someone will try to take him on, and maybe Craig will probably know this better, that Chelsea doesn't have that functioning transfer system that they used to have, or maybe so, but Barcelona see their chance. And if you see the interview of the manager, he will take the chance on any player, if you see that interview with that attitude.
But I think the one thing Chelsea have in their favour is that they can, under the new ownership of Todd Boehly, and I suppose Laporte, been quite a fresh president at Barcelona, hasn't been that long, both are trying to make a statement in a different way. But Chelsea can up their bid, can't they? I mean, Barcelona are going to have a tag sale outside the ground.
Yeah, good point.
To try and get
good
some point. More money. So yeah. I think Chelsea are in a better financial position.
But if you're Koundé, you want to go Barca, don't you? Because it's Barcelona.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there is a lure of the Premier League and the physicality and how competitive it is. But, and I've always said to you, you know, Barcelona, Real Madrid, albeit with the problems, particularly Barca, are still the pinnacle, I think, for a player. And he's in Spain, he's at Sevilla, and so he stays within that country. He goes to work for an exciting manager, don't know how successful he'll be, and they've just signed one of the best, if not the best striker of the last 10 years in Lewandowski. So, I think if Barcelona can come up with the money, that might be problematic for Chelsea, but then they have to be able to come up with it.
But having said that, I think that is an advantage for the Premiership, because the players, they want to play in the Premiership, and maybe Koundé wants a new challenge, and then just down the road, and he will go to Chelsea. So I think this will be a very, very open race. And we've seen it lately. Sometimes people don't understand that. Things take time, and then they say, well, then suddenly everything happened in 24 hours. No, that is just the practical stuff. These deals, these business deals, are worked on for weeks to sort out, nearly months. So maybe Chelsea are much closer to this than we think at the moment.
Meanwhile, let's just go back to Bayern. We were talking about the possibilities of who they're going to play up front. 30 million euros, apparently, is how much they're going to pay for Matthijs Tel. This is a player who's only 17 years of age, and he's only played, what, 7 games for Rennes. This seems a lot of money for someone so young and inexperienced, Jan.
Yes, just to make clear, on those 7 games, that is 49 minutes. So he got minutes for Rennes. But this, he's always been spoken since he was 15. This has been seen one of the biggest talents of European football in his position. Good dribbler, he scores goals, and his composure brilliantly. And a lot of clubs want to tell. But he wants Bayern, so it's a great position to be in. And as you said, Dan, it's 20 up front and 8.5 million euro in add-ons, possibly add-ons for Rennes. So Julian Nagelsmann has said this is one of my the players I want to get in. He will go straight into the first team squad.
Right.
And mind you, Bayern then been said that Dortmund have all young kids. No, they will have. They will have a Davis, they will have a Tell, they will have some young players in Musiala, a lot of young players in the Bayern. Again, I have to say, big praise to Bayern's transfer window.
Could he be better than Erling Haaland, yeah?
Well, let's start the other way. They say this is the new Mbappé.
Okay.
I think that pressure is hard enough, Dan.
Yes, yeah, I believe so. To keep up to date with all the latest on that move and indeed all the big transfers throughout the summer, be sure to check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Be sure to join us tomorrow. Stuart Robson's back in the studio. Craig with us as well. And speaking of Robbo, he sat down and had a chat with Thomas Müller.
To the Champions League, that has to be your priority this season. You've got to win the Bundesliga, of course. But do you think you've got a squad? You're a 2-times winner. Have you got a squad that can win the Champions League this year? Your third favourite.
The thing is, I think the last 10 or 12 years, almost in every year, we had a squad.
Well, it's good enough.
It's good enough to win it. But I think 5 or 6 teams in Europe has every year this squad to win it. But after this transfer period, we have some new players. Lewandowski left.
Has he? I didn't realise he'd left.
Yeah, he left. He left.
You must hear loads of questions about Lewandowski at the moment. No. And what your role is going to be when he's left. Is there more onus on you to score goals?
For sure, yeah. For sure. I think we have to score as a team.
Yeah.
We have to put it maybe on different shoulders, but maybe also the static of our game, of our offense, will change a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe we scored 10 goals less in the season, but maybe we have a different style of play. So
where do you fit into that style of play?
When?
Where do you fit into that? Are you going to still be
pitch.
The number 10?
On the pitch. The number doesn't matter.
No, no.
I have to be near the box, around the box, the fox in the box.
Yeah. So over your career, What would you say is your greatest attribute that makes you a top-class player? Every top-class player has one attribute that they can always fall back on. I've got my own views on you.
I think I understand really good what it makes difficult for the opponent.
Yeah.
And I try to make these a lot of things, and I try to do it again and again and again. I try it 90 minutes or 95, and I know that a missed chance is not the end of the game. Mm. It's maybe to be more sharp for the next chance. So it's a little bit a mixture of physicality.
Yeah.
So I'm not that big guy and fast guy, but I think I'm very strong and very tough.
Game understanding.
And
that's what I was going to say.
I think my right and left foot are not that bad at all.
You talked about you're going to change the style of play slightly and change the way you attack.
Yeah.
Is that going to be in terms of formations, or is it going to be in terms of the way you play?
A little bit in formation, mm-hmm. I think, maybe.
From game to game or from the start of the season?
We have to ask Julian Nagelsmann.
Yeah. I thought you were the assistant manager.
No. I'm the carrot manager in my horse barn at home.
Yeah.
But the system manager is Julian Nagelsmann. No, I think we tried to play a little bit more with two strikers.
Yeah, you've been one of them?
Not with the classical two strikers like in the former times. Okay, two strikers only in the box.
Yeah.
Crosses from the left and right wingers and put the headers in the back of the net.
So you're talking about the 1980s when I was playing.
Yeah,
that's nice. Yeah,
but
we weren't intelligent in those days.
It worked as well. But I think a little bit of information, a little bit of movements and the fluidity maybe of the game, the static of the game, maybe also the defense intensity.
Yeah.
We will see.
Now, you also played under some great managers. I'm not going to say where does Nagelsmann fit in there, but what are his credentials that he brings to Bayern that could make him a great manager in the future?
Yeah, he has a brilliant look on the game.
Yeah.
So his analysis is very, very good. For sure, he's a young guy, but he has also...
Only 2 years older than you.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you.
You're getting old.
Yeah,
so,
no.
Well, he's young. Well, you're old.
I said he is a young guy.
Yeah, I said you're old. Yeah.
No. You said he's 2 years older than I. So I'm I'm younger than a young guy.
Yeah,
hey, brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you. A nice interview here.
Yeah. So what qualities does he bring to Bayern?
Yeah,
why will he become a great manager?
He has also a young spirit. Okay.
Yeah.
He wants to improve us. Mm-hmm. He wants to get the results. He never won the DFB Pokal and the Champions League. Now his first German championship. So he is hungry, and he puts this hunger as well in our hearts.
What about your two new signings? What can they bring to Bayern Munich? Sadio Mane, or the two signings that we're going to talk about. Sadio Mane
and
De Ligt.
I hope goals and no goals.
Yep. That's a good answer.
Yeah,
maybe a bit more.
Yeah, okay. Now I think both can score goals.
Yeah,
you saw De Ligt also is a good
eight goals the manager said.
Like a striker, the qualities he showed off in Washington. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sadio is African Player of the Year, mm-hmm. very experienced, played in a great team. I think he knows what's necessary to be a good player at this level.
Yeah,
he needs everything. He knows everything what you need, and also Matthijs. He had a great start of his career in Ajax. Mm-hmm. I played against him. I played against him in the national team of Holland. And maybe we are in the lucky position that he did before he came to Bayern. Did his first move to a bigger team.
Yeah.
So now his experience is not only the very talented young guy, but now he has, I don't know, 2 years or 2 years,
three
I think.
Years,
3 years. He was 3 years in Italy.
Under three different managers he played.
Okay, so he's very experienced at the highest level in Italy, and now he came for a new chapter to Bayern, and when you see him...
He's a big boy.
I think his calves are like
probably
my legs.
Your legs.
So I think we can expect a lot.
I'll go back to something you said not so long ago. You said we could play with two up front. Would Mane and yourself be the partnership? Or likely to be the partnership?
We have a lot of very good players in the offense. We can play with everybody in the front. We can play with everybody a little bit behind when we play a system, when we have two strikers and maybe two number 10s a little bit behind, a little bit on the side. I think Leroy, Sadio, Serge, Kingsley,
Musiala,
Jamal. Yeah. We all six can play this kind of role. So we are very, very flexible. But for sure, I want to be near the box. I want to be around the box to make a lot of
leading goal scorer this season.
Leading goal scorer would be nice, but
in the World Cup Golden Boot again.
I had no problems in the last 3 years with the leading assist king. So. But I'm honest with you, to score a goal is the best feeling you can have. You can put the assist away to score for yourself. It's a great feeling.
What a bromance. Robbo's got to do every interview now.
That was comedy capers.
It was fantastic.
Well, I quite enjoyed Stuart asking the question and answering it for him.
Yeah, but, pretty standard.
But yeah, no, he's Thomas Müller. I mean, every time I've seen him interviewed and you listen to him and what he says and what he does on the pitch, he just does seem, and I've seen some pictures out with him, he likes to have a beer and relax as well. He doesn't, for somebody that's won everything, World Cup, Champions League, everything, I get a sense he doesn't take himself too serious.
No.
He understands he's worked hard, but he's in a great position. He has an extra responsibility now, whether he didn't quite say that. But he has, with Lewandowski going.
Yeah.
But I think it's exciting for him and at his stage of his career to see these other players coming in like Mane and how he's going to work with them. But he just seems like a fun, normal guy in a world today where I think a lot of people just take themselves way too serious. And he's done it all.
Well, like Jan Agafjordtoff, for example.
Well, exactly. I was thinking about, thinking about Jan there.
It must be so great to have somebody like that in a dressing room, Jan.
Yeah, and I agree with what Craig said. I mean, this is not your typical world star. I mean, if you see his track record, if you see his assists, if you see his goal, a golden boot at a World Cup, winning trophies all over the place. But he's the face of Bayern Munich, and that is very important because if you take on players, you take a Dutch guy, you take Mané now in, but still Thomas Müller is there. So he got he's the identity figure of that team, and he's easy go. I mean, there's a lot of things. The English will always say they've got the best comics, and the German comics are not world known. But Thomas Müller is doing his part. He is a funny guy, and he's good to be around, and it's good for Bayern Munich to have him around.
He has got a sense of humour. I'm not going to generalise about people, and I'm not.
Right.
But anyway, I saw him once, and this is what made it. I don't care what he's won, to be honest, but I saw him at the Oktoberfest.
You just love the big steins.
I saw him, Jan, at the Oktoberfest in Munich, and I saw him with a pint of beer that was about that size. Yeah. And I went,
yeah, he's your man.
He'll do it for me.
Hey, the man himself joins us now, not Thomas Müller, but Stuart Robson. Robbo, you've got to do every interview for us now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You were quite happy with it, were you?
Oh, we were going to cut it down, but we played the whole 7 minutes. You two seem to get on very well.
Yeah, very well. I think he's obviously a character. I think he liked the questions, and
he said
all the right things. And he gave Nagelsmann a big boost as well at the end. You know, so that was great. And
I know you liked the questions.
No, Costa wrote them for me. That's the whole thing. Our producer wrote them for me. I didn't write them.
But he just seems. I mean, he's still, even though he's this jokey guy, Robbo. He's still got that internal desire, that drive to go and still be successful.
Absolutely. I mean, he was talking about his understanding of the game and, you know, how he had to think about where to find space, all those sort of things. And you could just tell that all the other players like him. I think the coach still has a great affection for him, so he's not going to be chucked out like he was by Kovac a little while ago. Kovac, should I say. He's a player that, when you look at the 2014 World Cup winning side, there's not too many of those players that are still playing at the top level. Thomas Müller is, and he's still playing better and better at the moment.
Interesting, boys.
Do you know the best thing that happened to his career, Jan, I think, was Niko Kovac having a bad time at Bayern Munich? If Niko Kovac comes in and has a really good time and succeeds and had kept his job, Thomas Müller, he might not even been at Bayern Munich. He probably would not have been at Bayern Munich because they just did not fancy him.
Yeah.
He was not playing.
No.
But he left and he just rekindled his career again, didn't he?
Jan, I'm going to interrupt because I know you want to say something, but we've only got a couple of minutes with Robbo because he's calling the game, which is live on ESPN, Bayern against Manchester City. You're live from Lambeau Field, Robbo. The big question going into this one, hopefully you can answer it for us, is Erling Haaland starting?
I can't answer that for you at the moment. We've just arrived at the stadium. There's no indication, but most people think he will be playing.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's going to start the game. I think there's every possibility. Considering it is against Bayern Munich, why wouldn't you play him? He rested the last game. I think he's going to come in and we're going to see Haaland make his debut. And what a game for him to do it in a magnificent stadium here.
Well, stop interviewing players and get down there and find out if he's playing.
I've got to interview the manager in a minute.
Oh, goodness.
Well, you're getting paid. What's wrong?
What else are you looking forward to today, Robbo, from this match?
I'm looking forward to seeing, again, the new players for Man City, Haaland and Phillips might be playing. I'm looking forward to seeing De Ligt play. Obviously, no Mane, of course. But I'm just interested to see whether Nagelsmann changes the system, how he's going to integrate other players without Lewandowski, as we've been talking about on week after week. This should be a great game between two excellent sides. And it won't tell us who's going to win the Champions League, but it'll give us a good indication which side are at the sort of playing well in the pre-season going into that first game of the season.
And try not to get stressed in this game. Last time you were with us live from a game, that was after the Champions League final. You got a bit angry, Robbo. Enjoy the moment today.
Yeah, well, I didn't arrive on time, which got me a little bit stressed, of course. And I'm sure at the end of the game, there'll be something I can get angry about. Hopefully, I won't have a go at Stevie because he's not in the studio, so I can't do that. It'll be you, Dan, that I probably pick on.
Well, you'll be back with us tomorrow, Robbo. Enjoy the game. Good luck with the interview with Julian Nagelsmann. Maybe let him answer a question.
And don't be shouting down to Thomas Müller from the group. Remember me.
Remember me. I used to play
in the 80s. He's going to do it the other way around. He said he's going to give me away from the pitch.
Oh, yeah, when he celebrated. Robbo, thank you very much. That game then, live on ESPN tonight. Bayern Munich against Manchester City. We're expecting to see Erling Haaland make his first start under Pep Guardiola.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not too far away now after the start of the seasons in Europe and the curtain raiser. In England is, of course, as always, the Charity Shield. Liverpool taking on Manchester City. That game will be live on ESPN. You're on holiday, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Oh. 11:30 Eastern then, next weekend. That's it. That brings us to the end of...
Well, that's early, isn't it?
It's early because of the World Cup, isn't it? Yeah.
Damn World Cup.
There we go.
Yeah, the July 30th. I'm like,
I know. It's nuts. That is it. That brings us to the end of the...
That's still been my holidays when I was playing. July 30th. No, I'm not coming back.
Stay tuned. Extra Time's next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Jan is with us. So is this your last day before your holiday?
No, he's got me working tomorrow.
Are you working tomorrow? 2 days over the weekend? Oh, my goodness.
I crumbled.
Wow.
Crumbled.
But then you've got, 2 weeks off?
Well, it doesn't matter.
That's not
matter.
Right. I was under a bit of time.
Obligation to work 2 days over the weekend.
And Jan,
I just showed my soft side.
Jan, your holidays are done now.
No, I'm still, but I am I'm a home holiday, so that means... people that will use me, they will call me and I will always say yes.
Oh, well,
so that's
are,
my holiday at the moment.
Yeah, no. That's not how it works.
Your staycation will not...
Well, I'm not going away. I'm at home.
But you will be not answering any emails or calls.
Oh, I answer emails. But
you don't answer emails when you're working.
Well, I do for people apart from work. But I've got a friend coming to play the golf tournament.
Golf friend?
And then my sister.
You've got a friend, Craig?
I've got lots of friends, Jan.
Craig's friend.
I've got a friend coming to play golf for 5 days in a competition, as you know.
Nice.
And then my
nice.
Sister's coming. However, if anybody wants me to come in and do some work, I will be available to say no.
There you are. Perfect.
So that means vacation. We were in Wales once. What did I say to you?
I don't remember.
I'm not a fireman.
Oh, yeah. You're not on call.
I'm not on call. And the producer told me the time of this taping had moved. It just so happens it's the same producer who's working on today's show.
Yes, yeah.
And he says, oh, we moved the taping. I went, I'm not on call. You told me it was 1:30.
Yeah, that was it. You know. I had to do it with Robbo on my own. So with you away, Stevie's going to be working a lot more.
Good.
This came up on my time hop, by the way, from a year ago, where he's so like, look at you, your reaction is brilliant.
What's this about?
I can't remember what it was. He was getting really angry about
Tell me something. We know when he gets, he does this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he was off, look, he's off the seat.
He's off the seat, look.
And you're just laughing at him.
Well, because he puts the hands down. And
yes.
When he starts putting the hands down and he goes lower,
you know
he's getting angry. But he actually then was up.
He was up. Ready to go.
Yeah, he's... He's having a few more of those, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's got a lot going on.
You keep saying that. He's got a lot... There's always a lot going on in that head of his.
Craig and Jan, during your training sessions, was there a player that you were not allowed to slide tackle, or was everyone fair game? This is obviously off the back of Rudiger and Hazard.
You're not... If the manager said... You're not allowed to tackle him. Not just, I'll guarantee you, almost all the lads will be going after him.
But would you, for example, go in on Hullet like that or Hoddle like that?
Good grief,
yeah.
The manager.
Right.
Go back. Oh, yeah, you look for the manager. You will try to get him.
Right.
I remember in Austria, my manager, we played 5-2, and he was a former international, but now... probably my age now, but it was old then, and he was always playing there, and I was looking for him, and he knew I was looking for him because I wanted to get him, but I couldn't. But we know about, for example, the Manchester United at the time when Sir Alex Ferguson always had a go with all players except Eric Cantona. So there are players that are protected, absolutely. But as Craig is saying, if the managers told us to stay away from someone, well, we would go for him.
I got a couple of good ones. In this actually, but let me answer this because there is a reason. If you have a teammate or a youngster, whoever it is coming back from a particularly bad injury, players will be mindful in the recovery program.
Okay.
Until they've started playing games.
Right.
Not to be like, if somebody's come back from a cruciate and they've only trained 2 or 3 times, you would be mindful with that player in training until he gets up to speed. But there's been a couple of occasions, actually our good friend again, Erling Johnson, when Glenn Hoddle dropped him at one time, and all the boys looked at each other and thought, if Glenn joins in the five-a-sides here, this is not going to go well for him.
And did he?
Well, Erling tried. Yeah. But the best one I ever came across was, God rest his soul, he's not alive anymore, was the old manager, Scottish manager, Ian Porterfield, who played for Sunderland, blah, 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 but was manager at Chelsea for a few years. Now, not only did he drop Dave Bessant, the former Wimbledon goalkeeper in England International, he rubbished him in the press. Dave was going through a bad period, dropped the ball, made a mistake. After the game, Ian Porterfield said to the media, inexplicably, he'll never play for Chelsea again. Well, you talk about throwing him under the bus.
Yeah.
That was on the Saturday. 2 days later, the very enthusiastic Ian Porterfield, as he always did, went, I'm joining in training. 10 minutes into training, he was seen hobbling to the physio room with, wait for it, a broken rib. Because he went for a header, and Dave went, and Dave came out with the knees up and cracked right into his rib.
Love it.
And he came into Bob Ward was a physio, and I'll have to paraphrase here. He came in like that, and he was holding his ribs, and the physio went, Gaffer, what happened? He went, that, bleep, goalkeeper, Bessant. Cracked the rib.
Yeah. Did he ever play for Chelsea again?
He did actually. But David, David had a big smile on his face.
I bet.
I'll never play for Chelsea again, he says. He smashed him. Absolutely smashed him.
Wow.
But I think it's the thing with managers playing. And I mean, we played in the 90s, Craig, and they did that all the time. Howard Kendall did that. But the worst thing I saw at Swindon was David Haye, legendary Celtic player. And he also played for Chelsea, by the way. And I had him in Lillestrøm in Norway. And he said he couldn't play in because there was something with his eyesight he couldn't do. But when I met him again in the Premiership in England, he played in. And he was a terrible... He was so late in his tackles. So that was the other way around, that he was injuring players. So that could also happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen that. But honestly, it's when you think back now, it was so funny. I mean, Stan Ternent, who was an old-school coach for many, many years of some good clubs. He was manager at Burnley for years. He was Ian Porterfield's assistant for a period. And one day, he left the training field while training was going on, got in his car and went home. Because Dennis Wise was winding him up so badly that he said in the next day, and I said, Stan, why did you? Cause we all looked round. Stan, we're still training here, and his car pulled out the training ground and went home.
He says,
honestly, that's true, Jan. And he said, I said, he's a good guy, Stan, but he was old school. And he said, Craig, if I hadn't left, I would have punched Wisey in the face and there'd been a fight. So and his car left. It was like that, hey. So his training's still going on, Stan. Hey.
It's good preemptive.
And Wisey was like, of course, winding, freaking
exactly.
up. But I don't imagine that happens too often now. I'm sure it still happens.
Why is Erik ten Hag starting Maguire? Is he better? Is he a better centre-back than Rafael Varane, Jan?
Interesting, this Maguire thing. I think that is scandalous how they booed him in, how the some call themselves reporters and booing their captain, with Erik ten Hag coming in and said, this is my captain. Having said that, I think that for ten Hag, it's important now at the beginning to support Maguire. But ten Hag, it would undoubtedly take him out of the team if he's not producing. So I think it's important for him now to back the captain. I think that is also good for the for the club on a short-term basis. But Maguire got to produce. And we've seen the last games, he's getting a bit better. But he still doesn't have a lot of credit among the Manchester United fans. So this is a story to be continued, as it is called.
This Maguire thing makes me feel a bit uncomfortable because it's so personal, it seems.
I know he's not here. But when Gab was on the desk, Stevie and I had a different view, which is the same view that Jan has. And of course, Gab might just have been in his contrarian ways, disagreeing. Yeah. But I think from a player's perspective, you've got to understand that, as I explained and Stevie did, is that Ten Hag's trying to rebuild careers, rebuild a club. It serves no objective to boo a player at this time of the season when you're trying to rebuild his confidence. Harry Maguire hasn't been the only one who's been average at Man United, far, far from it. But the one thing that I've never understood, and it's happened, and it's happened to me, is fans booing players for playing poorly. Players don't try and play poorly. Now, I have no problem with fans booing players like Lukaku, who said, I'd rather be back at Inter, or I want to leave your club, or they're clearly not trying. I haven't a problem with fans booing players for that. But although it's their right to do what they want to a certain extent when they pay their money, I don't see the benefit of booing somebody who's having a crisis of confidence. And that's what Maguire's having. To answer your question, though, I think Maguire over Varane at the moment is purely a stylistic thing, that Maguire is a lot more comfortable coming out with the ball.
So it'll be Lisandro Martinez and Maguire.
Rafael Varane is and has been a better one-on-one defender. You know, he's got more experience, won the World Cup, played at a higher level. But Maguire is a better player with the ball at his feet. Now, he has to cut the defensive mistakes and bad decisions out. But yeah, that's probably the reason at the moment.
Craig, who was the most humble player you played with that also won the World Cup, and why was it Frank Leboeuf?
Do you know, Frank, you know, I love Frank to death, because when all those years ago in the mid-90s when he arrived, and he was just a character from, he had a little bit of hair at the time.
Right.
Although, you know, with a strong gust of wind, it could have blown off, but he had some. But he just, when he walked in, you just knew Frank wasn't shy. But he was funny.
He's great company.
But he's not, when you see people talking about what they've achieved, and they do it in a kind of vain way, you know, bigging themselves up, Frank does it in a funny way.
Yeah, completely.
So he doesn't take himself seriously. Yeah. So he finds it, he almost uses it as humour. But he's always been like that. He's been a character from day one.
Did you play with many other World Cup winners? I'm trying to think.
World Cup winners?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Jan, were there many at Swindon?
No, but I played with two. I played with Branco when he came to Middlesbrough. In 1958, he won the World Cup with Brazil, I think, when he arrived. And then later Juninho, but at the time that was in 2002, I guess.
Right.
But Branco had the same as Frank was doing at Chelsea. But Branco always ended every discussion by saying, "I won the World Cup. I'm sorry."
Yeah, there
I mean,
you go.
Whatever I say, it's right. But if you do it in a funny way, I love it. That is a purely positive confidence, I think.
Well, yeah, what was it? Sorry,
I mean, you asked me the question. I'm thinking Zola, Di Matteo, Ravanelli at Derby, Viali at Chelsea, but I can't remember if Italy were winning
if
it.
They were part of that squad.
They were part of the squad. I just don't know if Italy were winning it. Ruud Gullit, obviously, you'd think, but then Holland never won.
No.
Haven't won the World Cup.
No. Yeah, and what was it like going out in Middlesbrough with Juninho?
Just Frank.
Juninho was interesting because Juninho came as a kid and the first thing he went into was an English Christmas party, so you can imagine how he was born.
Brilliant.
It was more exciting to go out with Ravanelli in Middlesbrough,
right,
because he didn't pay any bills because he said no problem, they send Bill Club.
Right.
So he was at the time the best paid player probably in English football, but I always had to go back and pay all his bills. But Ravanelli, as Craig was a great, great, great character, still in touch with him, and he's larger than life kind of character.
Fantastic.
We had a French guy at Celtic who was crying at the Christmas night out. Not because anybody had said anything to him, because he'd never seen that Christmas carnage before.
Why did it bring him to tears?
I don't know. He did start crying and he went, "Never seen this before." All the boys were dressed up in costumes.
Craig,
be honest. There were a lot of things he could see at the Christmas party that could make him cry.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes,
be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only the clothing.
Let's move on before HR get on the phone. For all, let's go to you, Jan. What was the greatest achievement? Denmark winning the Euros in 1992 or Greece in 2004?
Oh, I know the answer.
When people don't know Denmark, they were in their holidays, mm-hmm, and Yugoslavia was taken out of the Euros, and Denmark came in with a great team. I mean, they won it deservedly. But I will say Greece, because with Greece with Otto Rehhagel, what he did, that was underachievers, and he turned them into champions. There was this big guy at the back, Delibero Dias, Tibor Dias, I think. And I was, I've seen him before. Yes, this was a guy who was injured when I played at Sheffield United who never played a game. I know he was the best player at the Euro, so mine will be at Greece when they won it.
Was that not the guy, was it Newcastle? Dabby's ass, I don't know.
No, Delas, I think it was. It went to Rome.
It's like
later.
I would have thought, I don't know, it's close. I mean, they were boring though, weren't they? I mean, they did win it.
Yeah, they were boring,
but,
yeah.
I mean, it was super boring.
Yes.
I mean, it takes all sorts. I mean, to get people off the beach, those Danish players, they were good players, don't get me wrong.
But very good players.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd have went. Nah. Factor fifth, nah. All inclusive. Nah. But that tournament, that must have made John Jensen almost that goal.
Right.
Yeah. Got a big move to Arsenal off the back of it at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
With all due respect, it's never good when that starts.
No.
I have a request, the ex-Chelsea player on the panel, to be a little harsh on Chelsea yesterday when they said it's impossible to win the league because it's between City and Liverpool. Don gave 0% chance to Chelsea in 2001 to win the Champions League and they won it. So be nicer to Chelsea.
I said they won the Champions League, just for the record.
No. Zero chance? No, I wouldn't say zero chance. But I think at the moment, I mean, if they get Koundé and they've got Koulibaly, they're still a bit short up front, even with Sterling. I think City and Liverpool would have to regress.
Yep.
A fair amount. And Chelsea can improve on last year, for sure, because it wasn't a good end to the season. But if the other two regress, and there's no... You're signing Nunes, Darwin Nunes got 3 or 4 the other day.
Four against Leipzig.
Alfie Haaland's probably going to get some...
Erling Haaland. Erling Craig.
Alfie! Haaland's probably going to get some game time tonight on our live match.
Oh, it's a nice little promotion.
Great signing. That's my. I've got a day off now tomorrow. unlikely. I'm giving a give it 10%.
Oh, okay.
Slim chance.
Yeah, I think it's going to be harder. But I think it's going to be harder for Chelsea as is seen now by the squad. The problem is we're talking now in July, and this can change if they get in players. I think it's going to be harder for them to have Tottenham away from them as is seen at the moment.
Don's percentages are great, but I think he's figured it out now, hasn't he?
Well, he just keeps it simple. Him just say 33, 33, 33, 33.
Yeah.
That's it.
On 25, 25, 25. 33,
33, 33,
that adds up to 99.
Well, 33.3.
Yeah.
There's never an exact.
Yeah, and do you think we'll see the best of Odegaard this season? Will he finally prove himself to be the generational talent?
Well, first of all, I think he proved himself last season. I think he had a very good season for Arsenal, and he has turned into a very good player. This thing that he's gonna be the Messiah at Real Madrid when he was 16. A lot of people believe that. I think he's turned into a very good player, and he's going to be very important for Arsenal this season. Hopefully take a next step. He's a candidate to be their captain and so on. He's a brilliant captain for Norway. He's over 40 caps already, and he's still 12 years of age. So I think that you will see a very good Martin Odegaard coming into this season.
I'm actually intrigued what Arsenal got, what they're going to do with Zinchenko.
Right. Because what would you do with him?
Well, obviously, he's a natural left-back who has played midfield for City and midfield. He does play regular midfield for Ukraine and does it very well. They could do that. I mean, Kieran Tierney is a very good player. Mm. I mean, I would go as far to say Kieran Tierney is a much better defender than Zinchenko. Maybe, and it's arguable, going forward, Zinchenko offers a bit more, but Tierney's pretty good in that department. I can only presume Arsenal have some concerns over his fitness. But I'm going to be intrigued to know what they're going to... He's a £25 million player who, when he's fit, has looked like one of the best left-backs in the Premier League.
Right.
So I'm not sure who's going to give way, if any, here. He might play Zinchenko in the middle of the park. So I don't know what Arteta's going to do. But the one thing I do know now, with the signing of Jesus... And with, I think, the boy coming in from Porto, the playmaker, mm-hmm. with the back four set, the keeper change, with Zinchenko coming in, there's really no hiding place this year.
For Arteta?
There was a little, not for Arteta. There was a bit of leeway. I'm not saying Arsenal need to win the league. That's just nonsense. But last year, there was a little bit of leeway after the bad start, and then they had a bad start and a bad finish.
Yeah.
But they had a really good in-between. That's not going to be acceptable this year. And so, yeah, you improve your squad, but you pile the pressure on yourself, and he'll be under no illusion that he has to get results this year.
What's that? I don't know why they've chosen this question. I know it's only a pre-season match. However, Darwin Nunez didn't look so sharp with the finishing. He scored 4 goals against Leipzig yesterday.
So he scores 4 goals. You're never fully up to speed in pre-season. In fact, I don't know what Jan thinks, but whenever I finished a pre-season, the first... at least 2 or 3, maybe 4 games, Jan, of the up-to-speed season. It wasn't until I'd played that I fully felt fit. I still wasn't fit. No, I still wasn't ready to go in the first game of the season. Well, I was ready to go, but I still wasn't up to full speed.
Yeah, fair point, but I think this is special for strikers because we want that goal-scoring feeling. I mean, we are so into that thing that we need to get some goals, but as I said, I didn't like friendlies at all. But for Nunez to score those 4 goals, that can mean a world to him. And you can say it's only a friendly, but still, they beat Leipzig 5-0 away from home with 47,000 in the stadium there. So Nunez showed that, and I mean, he stayed for 2 minutes in Liverpool and he missed 1 chance in the first friendly, and people start doubting him. So yeah, but it will take some time. And if you see, Craig, with Manchester City, Pep Guardiola more or less saying, I use the first league games to get my players in shape.
This is the world we live in now, isn't it? I mean, seriously. We have a new signing who is a young guy and he's just scored 4 goals in pre-season, and all of a sudden, in some people's eyes, he doesn't look sharp. I mean, this is the world. This is the social media platform's persona. Before all these platforms come out, if you'd walked in a pub with all your mates, anybody who'd said, oh, I didn't think Darwin Nunez looked sharp today with his finishing. You'd have been thrown out. Your mates would have all thrown you out the pub for being stupid. This is the new norm, that people, even when they're scoring all these goals, oh, I don't think he's looked the business today. I should have scored six, not four. Yeah, I mean, just give me a break.
We've got three questions left. I want to ask all of them, so be quick with your answers, Jan. Where do you rank Lewandowski all-time at Bayern?
Oh, good question. I have to have him behind Franz Beckenbauer. I have to have him behind Thomas Müller as a Bayern Munich player. Sepp Maier and Gerd Müller. So I will give him a top six position.
For both, you guys both come from two of the most beautiful countries in the world. Played from Scotland, not England. Jan.
Oh, my mates were sitting with me at the golf. We were watching the Open. They were going, oh, Scotland's beautiful. I was going, yeah. But it doesn't all look like that, you know, there is like.
Jan, have you ever been to Scotland? And Craig, have you ever been to Norway?
Yes, his boys playing.
Well, yeah, this person might not know.
My boys played there for 3 years, and I've always loved to go to Scotland. I love the Scots. I mean, I'm from West Norway. I mean, if I put myself in a boat and row, I would probably meet Craig out with his mates rowing in Scotland. So we are like, I love Scotland, I love Braveheart, I give them independence, give them everything, I love Scotland.
He'll get stuck at the Shetland Islands and they'll just keep him on there.
Yeah, that'd be it. Have you been to Norway before?
Yes.
What was your impression of Norway?
I like Norway. I was in, I can't remember where I've been, but one of the places I've been was Kongsvinger.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a particularly large area, but we're there pre-season.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Scandinavia. The only thing I don't like about Scandinavia is the price of the beer.
Yes, it is.
It's quite very expensive.
How much is a beer in Norway, Jan?
It will probably be £10 now.
£10.
Stevie,
what's that, $12, $13?
He'd have to travel with us.
Final question for Jan. I'm moving to Finland next month for study purposes for a few years.
Take a blindfold.
Which is the most beautiful Nordic country in terms of natural beauty? Norway, Finland, Sweden or Denmark? P.S. I'm an ornithology student. Do you know what ornithology
is? Ornithology.
Yeah, I don't know what an ornithologist is.
It's a bird.
It's an ornithologist. I have no idea what
it's wildlife, isn't it? Plants and everything in general?
No.
Well, it's wildlife.
A quick answer. Norway is the most beautiful country because we have the fjords, we have mountains, we have the sea and everything. Finland is great as well. They've got all the lakes in the world, a lot of forest. Sweden is Sweden. That is our neighbor. They are cozy. And they think they are our big brothers, but still a great country. Denmark, quite flat, but they got Copenhagen, which is beautiful. They have some great beaches. Scandinavia, boys and girls, the best place on earth.
Sweden. You've been to Sweden? That's nice. Stockholm.
I know, I haven't.
Right there. No, I'll tell you what, the only thing with Finland, I don't know what time of year, but it doesn't get dark.
Right.
Meet me in Stockholm, baby, and, to mess around.
Can you whistle? the only thing with Finland is, the only thing they produce is rally drivers.
Oh.
And have a look at... And a great Prime Minister.
Oh, okay. All right. Apparently this will make us laugh. Let's see what this is. Stuart Robson. Oh, here it comes. Here comes the sprinkler.
Does he get soaked? Look.
I hope so.
Go on, get it on his head. He's angry. Look.
Oh, no, that's brilliant.
Look at that.
After that great interview, and now this is happening.
Oh no, his phone.
Oh
no.
Look at him pampered. It's a wonder he never turned around to the sprinkler and went, I'm Stuart Robson. You can't.
I'm Thomas Muller, don't you know?
I'm interviewing, man. I'm trying to work here. You can't sprinkle water on me.
Oh, dear.
Of course, look at Champion. He's trying to play a cool, calm. Look at Mike.
Oh no. You don't know where to go.
And my phone. Your phone.
It doesn't need
Stuart,
to know what to do with
your
himself.
Phone. Oh, your phone. God.
Where's
your
my phone? Did I put it
okay,
down
phone,
here?
There
oh, where is
there
it?
Is, yeah.
No. Oh, it's on the table. I leave it on the table.
Find my phone. Thomas Miller's ringing me.
I watched the guy with the umbrella now. He can't get it open.
Umbrella. There we go.
We only hire the best.
We weren't able to obviously cover it in the show because we were live at 5 today, but it was France against the Netherlands in Euro 2022. Here's Kay to take you through exactly what happened.
stand. There we go. The final four are set. It's England against Sweden, as we knew, but it is France who have booked their spot in the semi-final to take on Germany. That game coming up on Wednesday. Kay Murray, Danielle Slayton and Steffi Jones here. France putting that quarter-final curse behind them. Steffi, was it a deserved win for them?
I would say yes. I mean, you were showing already where their threats are, and it just went well for them. And I would say that the Dutch team really didn't get a hold on them, and it was really deserved. Yeah.
Do you feel that they were unlucky that it even had to go to extra time today, France, with all the shots that we saw from them, Danielle?
I mean, the reality is that those shots were wasted. They are a fun team to watch. Mm. They were on the front foot for the majority of this game. Yeah, Netherlands tried to claw their way back into it a little bit in the second half, but it still was France in the second half who had the better chances. I promise you, in these next 3 days, the two things they're going to be working on, recovery, And finishing. Because they won't have that same luxury when they take on Germany in the semifinals.
Yes, they're taking on a side, you know, very well, Steffi, a side that is a machine of effectiveness, a machine of organization. How can they try and get the better of this German team?
Well, they just have to take their chances. I mean, that's something that Germany had been working on in the last years, having too many chances and not scoring. And now this French team had one game showing that they are able to create many chances, and they got to take them when they play against Germany.
and you know, I thought that Cascarino was one of the best players on the pitch for France today, and her going up against Gavin, who likes to go forward, that's going to be an interesting matchup. I think Gavin for Germany is going to have to stay a little bit more defensive because she's going to have to worry about Cascarino. Just France with so many weapons and attack, and the defense for Germany really has yet to be tested, so this
both
is going to be a tasty matchup.
Really. Yeah. Do we have the best four teams left standing in this tournament? England, Sweden, Germany and France.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that's not on me saying if there would have been a better team.
In your opinion, do you think it's the best four standing from what we've seen?
No.
Okay,
but you
who
know,
should be there?
My favorite was Spain. and they just, you know, they lost a key player, and it's so tough, but they really showed how good they are, and that's why I would say Spain would have deserved it.
France lost a key player too, though, in Katoto, and they've managed to get there into the Final Four. What do you think about this Final Four?
I think it's a good Final Four. I think it's fair. I think, quite frankly, France wouldn't have gone to extra time if Katoto was uninjured and in the match, because I think she would have finished some of the chances that the other French players didn't. But it's going to be a fun Final Four, and I can't wait for it.
Oh, it really is. We cannot wait for it to coming up next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, those games to book a spot in the final. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Kay. Just a reminder, ESPN AFC with you 7 days a week. We'll be back tomorrow for more of this. Be sure to join us.